of that our God's real. Not just that he's real and he exists, because of course he exists and of course he is, but he's real. He's in our situations. He's in the good times. He's in the bad times. And he's meeting us where we are. Now, as I read James, and as I listened to James, and I listened to the podcasts of the various people who spoke upon James, I got a sense of just a consistency, a steadfastness, a directness in everything he says and everything that he talks about. I want to make sure that I've got a take-home message for everyone today. That it's not just me standing up at the front and being rambling on because I'm under strict instructions from my wife to be direct, to be clear, and to be consistent. So, if we can get to the next slide, please. Right. So, as we've looked on the book so far and the letter from James, is how much wisdom's there. Now, I love learning. I love going on courses with my job and through my career, reading books and trying to get better. Now, if you look at that, if I was going on a course to get better, self-improvement, all this type of thing, and you looked at how to deal with trials and temptations, listening and doing, faith and deeds, taming the tongue, two kinds of wisdom, all things that have been touched on over the last 4-5 weeks. Now, that slide's busy, and I'll break it down, don't worry. But they're the take-home messages. They're the things that I'd like us to touch on. So God's love, God's wisdom transforms. So we're talking about this being this series that we're going through, transformation. Now, the big messages that I took from reading James was God's love, God's wisdom transforms. And so if we go into the next one, and I've brought my phone up here just so I could make sure that I'm not over time. So I've gave myself a little kind of probably 3 minutes boost. Okay. Now, my dad's in the room now. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, like when you talk about that, the people that you love and the people that invest in your lives. Now, I read this when James is talking. James is talking to actually people he knows, because James was one of the head leaders in the church in Jerusalem. And a lot of these, the letters were written to the scattered church. Now, the scattered church was actually initially from, scattered tribes were initially from Jerusalem. So they're going out, and he's actually writing to the people he knows. So when he's talking to these people, he's actually talking to the people that he knows. And he's going at times, and it's really strong. It's very exceptionally direct. But that's why sometimes when I speak about my dad, sometimes he's told me off. He said, "Oi, Gareth, if you don't start doing that, I am going to..." Yeah. And there's going to be sometimes... And then there's going to be sometimes that he's going to go and say, "Hey, how's things going? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Are you really feeling this? Are you? Do you need help? Do you need a hand? Do you need to dig out?" And that's what I see that James is doing here. Now listen, rich people, weep and wail because the misery that is coming on you. Wow. Oof, that's direct. Yeah, look, the wages you failed to pay people, the workers that mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. Now, if that ain't a warning, I don't know what is. If that's not a direct discipline, say, "Oi, get yourself in order. Sort yourselves out. Because what you're doing is wrong." Now, then we then go into that ability that God has to meet us where we are. That on the flip side, he talks about the patience and suffering. Be patient then, brothers and sisters. So he might be talking to actually the people who are in the fields that are being persecuted, that are actually not being paid the wages that should have been doing, maybe not getting the rewards that they should be. And he turns around and goes and says, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmers wait for the land to yield its valuable crop. Patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains, the good times. Patiently waiting. But they are going to come. You don't say just wait and wait and wait. He actually says what you're waiting for. He tells you what you're waiting for. So then we talk about the wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to discern and judge which aspects of knowledge are true, right, lasting, and applicable to your life. So when we go into Solomon, jumping around a little bit, please. So this is what King Solomon says about wisdom. According to King Solomon, wisdom is gained from God, for God gives wisdom from his mouth, come knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 2:6. So Solomon's basically saying, everything, the wisdom that's supplied from God is going to give you, is going to help you find success and happiness. Now, that wisdom in different situations might be different. So, a couple of months ago, I'm on a bus. I'm ready to go down to Watford, and I'm there at 6:30. Now, there's a little saying in football, Bobby Robson. Now, what Bobby Robson means is, if somebody's late, you're closing the door. Because apparently, Bobby Robson, if somebody was late for a meeting, he used to close the door so nobody could get in. So I'm sat on this bus, and I'm going, Bobby Robson. And all the rest of the lads are going, saying, okay, right. Because this lad's late. This lad's running late. It's 6:30, Bobby Robson, come on, driver, off we go. And then I ask who it was. Who's late? It's this boy. Okay, right. I might be different. I might need to leave the door open on this one. Just 5 minutes down the line, we've waited 5 minutes. This boy comes biking like kind of somebody not right out through the gates of the training ground. And he's biking. This is 6:30 in the morning. He's going as fast as he can. He's like that. He's got sweat dripping off his brow. Yeah? And he's... And I realise that this boy lives 1.5 hours over the other side of town. 1.5 hours. So that boy is taking him 1.5 hours to bike to the training ground. Now, what's wise? Is it to go and stay by the rules? Or is it to go and say, yeah, fair play, where your heart is. Where your heart is actually you're trying your best to do this. You're trying your best to get here. And that, for me, is something that when we talk about wisdom, is being able to discern what's right at what in different situations. And I see a lot of knowledge currently in this world. People that are more than happy to go and quote this person and that person and say this is right and say this is good and say this is true. Yeah, but I don't see an awful lot of wisdom. I don't see the wisdom that we're talking about in here. Now, how wise is God? That what he's talking about through James is actually something that we are, that I don't know about you, but I deal with all the time in my life, 2,000 years on from when that letter was first written. People struggling with... So it talks about the power. So when it talks in... It's a little bit touch time. Yeah. My mince pies aren't the best. Okay. So it talks about... the people in the rich and the powerful. Now, being rich and powerful isn't the problem. Being rich and powerful is great. Yeah? You've got so much scope to be able to do good. You've got so much scope to do wise things. So what James is talking about, he's not saying that being rich and powerful is wrong. He's talking about the wisdom that then people are applying with the situation. And then we then talk about so it goes into the warning to the rich and oppressors. Your gold are like silver and are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. So for me, that's talking about, yeah, you've got all these things, but you're thinking so short term. You're thinking about the here and now. You're thinking about what's tomorrow. You're thinking about what's in the next minute. You're thinking about what's in the next 2 days. But then he flips it and he goes, tell you what, this is what's better. This is the wisdom that I'm talking about. Patience in suffering. To you, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming. Now, that suggests to me that we're not talking about a short-termism. We're talking about, let's deal with the big picture here, gentlemen and ladies. Let's deal with the thing that is actually over a long time. Now, with that, I think the challenge for all of us is to actually to see that long-term picture, rather than just going and saying, hey, I tell you what, that suits me here and now. Now, I don't know about you, but that's often something that I really struggle with. Now, being patient. So when I hear the word patience, I go, yeah, I tell my little boys that a lot. Patience. But I don't end up saying what they're being patient for. Now, in this, it talks about, James talks in James 5, he speaks twice about being patient, but he also talks about what they're being patient for. That there's a coming, whether it's in the previous slide, verse where it talks about the sowing of the what you're sowing, waiting for the rains. These are the things. There's going to be things that are good. There's going to be things that are difficult, and that might be like that through our lives. But we know at the end we have that God is coming. That God is going to be here, he's going to come, and that is where the victory is. Whether we kind of die and go to heaven and that's where the victory is, or whether one day God comes down and, because I don't know when he's coming, whether he comes down and he says, bang, I'm here, were you ready? And that's where the victory will be. So I think the wisdom is also not just in James asking us to be patient and God asking us to be patient, but actually the wisdom is actually telling us what we're waiting for as well. So talking about this patience, the characteristics of patience: tolerance, self-restraint, fortitude, sufferance, endurance, calmness, composure, serenity, tranquility, tenacity, determination. Sometimes when I read that and I'm thinking about patience, I often think about doing nothing. Okay, that's all right. Yeah, let them get on with it. No. Patience is an attitude. Patience is something that I'm being patient. A, like it said, I know what's coming. But if you know what's coming, you can prepare for it. So when I'm talking about to our lads on the football field, and I'm going, I want, this is the end product. This is the end product. I want us to be doing this. I want to be fitter than the opposition. I want us to be better technically than the opposition. I want to be better tactically than the opposition. That is the end goal. Now what we are going to do is we are going to train. We are going to work. We are going to be steadfast in that, and we're going to be repetitive in that, and we're going to be hardworking and diligent. Yeah, and determined and show tenacity in building those qualities. So what I'm saying is, when we're talking about being patient, is if you know what you're doing is right, be patient in that. Be steadfast in that. Know what you're doing is right. Knowing what you're working for is right. So when we find it difficult, and when we find that you've got somebody at work and he's being really, or she is being really kind of almost treating you subservently, or those things, and really finding it difficult, and you're really finding it difficult with that person, if you know you are doing right, and you are treating that person right, and you are working as hard as you can, and you are being as honest as you can, and you are being all these qualities that you would know are right, stay patient in that. Dig in. Dig in. Yeah? Be determined. Show that tenacity. Because you know what the end is. So we've talked about God's love, God's wisdom. God transforms through that. So by being patient, by doing the right things, we start listening. Because when you're in that situation where somebody is treating you poorly, yeah, and you're having to be patient with that, what you're having to do is trust God. That what God's telling you is right. And so I'm going to be right. So if you're trusting in God, the likelihood is that you're going to start listening to him more. You're going to start reading his word more. You're going to start being obedient to actually what he says. Rather than, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take this on my own shoulders. I'm going to deal with this in my own way. So then that starts transforming your life. That starts changing. So God's love, God's wisdom transforms. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we counted as blessed those who have persevered. Now it's talking about Job later on. I was talking about Job. Now, Job had it a little bit tough, to be fair, didn't he? It was a little bit difficult for him, if we're being honest. Yeah? Now, imagine that situation with the prophets. The prophets were actually basically told by God that these folk that you're going to talk to aren't going to listen. They're not going to listen. But I want you to do it anyway. I want you to do it anyway. So there, in that, they persevered. They were obedient. They were steadfast. They were consistent in the message, knowing what God wanted them to do. Now you look at the incredible example of the prophets that have not just lasted in their generation, but for thousands of generations that goes on. Now, what a legacy that is. What an impact that is. And I don't want this to seem like this is a real, like, kind of, like, downbeat message. Because it's not. Because at the end, we have the victory. There's going to be kind of peaks, there's going to be troughs, there's going to be difficulties. But what this is telling us is basically through all that adversity, through those trials, tribulations, through that success, that happiness, that joy, that power, that richness, that this is how I want you to deal with it. This is the wisdom that I want you to apply to those situations. So then you'll be transformed, and then other people in this world, in this life, will then be able to see me. Not me. Don't want to see me, especially with this eye this morning. But they will see God. And then they will be transformed, and they'll be changed, and this world will be changed. And that's where I'm going to finish, because I'm on 17 minutes, so actually probably 19 minutes. Is He's just letting us know that in this world that we are in and that we are part of, yeah, that we are an influence or influencers in, that we have got a tremendous responsibility to actually be solid, consistent, steadfast. Because unlike a lot of the world, that they don't know where their foundation is. That's why they'll go and look there, and look there, and look there. And, oh, I fancy doing a little bit of that, because that makes me feel great. But unfortunately, they don't have that foundation that we have. So they can't be consistent. They can't be steadfast, because they don't know what their foundation's built on. But we do. We do. Now, so if we look into this world and we're saying there's not enough continuity, there's not consistency, there's not enough steadfast, there's not enough all these things, right? Well, let's challenge us. Are we being steadfast? Are we being consistent? Are we being all these things that God's wisdom's asking us to be? Because then that will change the world. Because the world is crying out for something that says, this is right. I know why I am right. This is solid. So, I hope that this is, I hope I've articulated the things that I've got from this. And I'd encourage you to read James. Because the letter and digging into it and delving into it definitely affected my life. And my work and my family. That's a work in progress, as all as it is. Yeah. But thank you ever so much. And can I just finish by praying? Is that okay? Okay. Father, I just thank you that your wisdom is not only about what used to be, but it's current. It meets us where we are now, dealing with issues that we face now. We look at that patience that you must have, that you share this message 2,000 years ago, and yet we're still having problems dealing with this now. I thank you for your patience with us. I thank you for your wisdom that you shared that's so applicable now until the end of time. And Father, I pray that you just allow us to see your wisdom in the situations that we face daily. That we will rely on you, that we will be obedient to you. In your name. Amen.